Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I've been a doctor for 10 years and I've seen it all.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Gunshot wounds, overdoses, car accidents that look like something out of a horror movie. But what I experienced with Joan, it was just different. I wasn't prepared to face something I couldn't explain with science, and that day definitely made me rethink everything I had believed up to that point. That day, I realized that I was wrong about everything. It was like, I don't know, starting from scratch. It all started with an emergency call, one like any other. The patient had been transported by the police to the hospital, apparently in a state of crisis. Upon arrival, I noticed that his family, a very religious group of people, was outside, screaming for them not to treat him there, to let him go. They said Joan didn't need a doctor, but an exorcist. At first, I didn't pay much attention to it. Throughout my career, I've dealt with many people who prefer to entrust themselves to God rather than to medicine, and while I respect that, my duty is to be patient. I walked into the emergency room where he had been placed. Juan was strapped to the bed, sweating profusely, mumbling things I didn't understand, and his eyes. I admit that his eyes were a bit scary. I admit that his eyes were somewhat terrifying. They were eyes that a believer might consider possessed. To me, though, they were those of a person who needed urgent attention. As I approached, the murmuring stopped, and he suddenly stared at me, laughing.
You have no idea what you're doing, doctor!
His voice caught my attention. It was a deep, guttural, and forced voice. I did not rule out that this person might have some mental illness. We would have to be on the lookout for that. I prepared to do my job, ignoring the discomfort that this patient generated in me. The family followed me as I took Joan to a safer observation room. They begged me not to treat him like a normal patient, to let him go before it was too late.
He's possessed, doctor. You don't understand. Joan is a silly, stubborn child. He didn't listen to us and played the cub game.
The father, on the other hand, remained silent, praying quietly while holding a rosary. I explained that I would keep him under observation until I could diagnose his condition. It was obvious that the man was delirious, possibly from a serious infection or psychological trauma, but there was something in their words, in the family's desperation, that made me uncomfortable. Obviously, this was not the first time this had happened, nor did I believe what the family was telling me, but I was concerned about what this man might have. I promised them I would do everything I could to help him. That night, while checking Juan's vital signs, I noticed something strange. His pulse was irregular, as if his heart was beating in two different rhythms. His test results showed nothing out of the ordinary. As I continued to monitor, Juan's murmuring became more intense, and at one point he began to laugh. It was not a normal laugh. It was a cross between a whisper and a scream, if that was possible. I tried to reassure him, but the laughter stopped as abruptly as it had started. He looked at me, and this time his eyes were bloodshot, completely black in the center.
You should listen to the family, Doctor. It's a bit brute, but they're right. You can't save him.
I didn't let the man's words scare me. He was dealing with a severe case of psychosis or something, but I couldn't stop thinking about what the family had said. Things started to spiral out of control when Joan attacked one of the nurses. It was fast, almost too fast for anyone to stop it. One moment he was still, and the next he had the nurse up against the wall, his hands around her neck. We managed to separate them, but it was clear to me that this person was dangerous to the hospital staff. I ordered him sedated to avoid further incidents, but his resistance was surprising. Even with a dose that should have knocked out a man his size, he remained awake, whispering things in a language I didn't recognize. After that incident, I began to feel that something was wrong, not only with Joan, but with the hospital in general. The lights were going on and off, and the thermometers were reaching impossible temperatures. Once Joan finally fell asleep, I decided to go home and rest. I had been awake for too many hours, and exhaustion was getting the best of me. When I got home, I had a quick bite to eat and went to bed. Tiredness got the better of me, and I fell asleep. I don't know how long it was before it happened, but suddenly I felt a violent tug on my leg. I fell out of bed with a thud, completely disoriented. As I tried to get up, something invisible grabbed me again, dragging me across the floor. It was as if icy hands were clinging to my skin, trying to pull me somewhere dark. I somehow broke free, and when I sat up, I saw it. Across the room, in the shadows, was Joan. It wasn't exactly him. His body was there, but something in his posture, and the way his face twisted into a smile, told me he wasn't human. He lunged towards me with impossible speed, and at the last second, everything went black. I woke with a jolt in my bed, sweating and breathing. It was all a dream, the most realistic and terrifying dream I had ever had in my life. I thought it was all over, but when I calmed down enough to think, I realized that my leg was covered in bruises, as if I had really been dragged. I nervously went to check my security camera. At night, I would film myself to monitor my sleep because of some sleepwalking problems I had been having. When I saw the camera, I couldn't believe my eyes. Something had really thrown me. I decided not to think about what had happened. I hurriedly got dressed and drove to the hospital. When I arrived, I went straight to Joan's room. He was awake, looking at me with the same disturbing smile. I didn't know what I was looking for from him, but when he spoke to me, I understood that everything the family had told me so far was true.
I almost got you, Doctor. It's a pity you woke up.
When I heard that, I felt as if the ground was crumbling underneath my feet. This couldn't be real, but it was. Terrified and not knowing what to do, I contacted Joan's family. I told them that they were right, that something was very wrong, and that they should take him away immediately. This was beyond what medicine could explain. We met secretly that evening, without involving the hospital administration. As they prepared him to leave, Joan kept looking at me, his smile a hideous grin on his haggard face. He was simply amused by the situation. Before they took him away, I gave him an injection to sedate him. I didn't know if it would work, but I needed to buy time for him to be taken away from me. As the drug took effect, Joan relaxed and looked at me with a face that could even be seen as sympathetic, and just like that, he fell asleep. I never knew what happened next. I never heard from Joan or her family again. They vanished into thin air as if they had never existed. I went back to my routine at the hospital, but after that, I was never the same. Eventually, I quit my job. I couldn't stay there anymore. There was nothing strange going on there, but after that, I questioned everything I believed in. I moved to a distant city, but the fear never completely went away. At a certain point, Joan never left me. Sometimes, in the middle of the night, I wake up suddenly with the feeling that something is coming. I'm always on my toes, waiting for that moment when the nightmares become reality again, but how do you prepare for something you can't see, that you can't understand? Since that day, I feel like I'm going crazy, and I feel like this is something Joan understood before she left. That smile told me everything. It was a smile of victory. He knew, even before I did, that our meeting had ruined my life.
My name is Laura. What I am about to tell you is not easy to remember, let alone narrate. I don't know how to logically explain what happened in my house, but the life I knew completely fell apart when my daughter, Clara, decided to play Ouija with her friends. Clara was always a normal girl, like any other girl her age. She studied, hung out with friends, and spent hours in her room listening to music. Nothing out of the ordinary. But that night, when her curiosity and her friends led her to summon spirits with a board, it was the beginning of the end. When I found out they had played with the Ouija board, I really wasn't too scared. I never believed in those things. I always thought they were children's games. But now, after what happened, I wish I had intervened. It all started with little things. Clara started to isolate herself, not wanting to leave her room, and when she did, she had a look I had never seen before, as if she didn't even want to see us. I would ask her what was wrong, but she would just ignore me or tell me it was nothing. I thought maybe she was going through a difficult stage, those things that sometimes happen to young people. But then things got worse. One night, while I was preparing dinner, I heard strange noises coming from his room. At first, I thought she was watching some horror movie or something, but when I went upstairs to tell her to come down for dinner, I found her sitting on the floor in the middle of the room, staring at the wall in wonder. I froze. I didn't know what to do. Clara was immersed in her own world, her eyes closed, her voice monotonous as if she was in a trance. I called out to her, but she didn't react. The following days were hell. Clara began to behave erratically. She stopped eating and spent all day in her room, even on weekends. Her friends stopped coming to the house, and when I tried to talk to them, they would dodge my questions. I was alone, not knowing how to help my daughter. One night, I woke up with a start when I heard noises in the kitchen. When I went downstairs to see what was going on, I found her there, sitting at the table with a knife in her hand. She was staring blankly at the wall, mumbling in the same incomprehensible language I had heard her use before. I tried to talk to her, to ask her what she was doing, but she didn't respond. I approached her slowly, fearing she might hurt herself or me, but before I could touch her, she jumped up, threw the knife on the floor, and ran off to her room. The next day, I sought help. I talked to several psychologists who told me they could start treating her, but they all implied that she would probably end up being referred to a psychiatrist, and that would take even longer since she had to go through the psychologist first. The nights became a nightmare. I began to hear noises in the house, footsteps that shouldn't be there, whispers coming from the corners where my daughter was not. I would wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat with the feeling that someone was watching me. I tried to talk to Clara, but she became more and more aggressive, more and more distant, until the day came when I no longer recognized her. Everything exploded one night. I was in the living room, trying to relax after a particularly horrible week, when I heard screams coming from Clara's room. I ran up the stairs, my heart pounding a mile a minute. When I opened the door, I found her writhing on the bed, her body bent in impossible ways, her face disfigured by an expression of pain and fury.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Her eyes were completely white, lifeless. The sheets were soaked in sweat, and her skin seemed to burn. I tried to get closer, but Clara began to scream in several languages, words I did not understand, mixed with a low, hoarse voice that was not hers. Her body was shaking violently, and suddenly, she began to bang her head against the headboard of her bed. I lunged toward her, trying to stop her, but she pushed me back with a force she shouldn't have. It was then that I saw that something else was with her in that room. Something I couldn't see, but I could feel. Terror came over me completely. I screamed for help, but we were alone in the house. I didn't know what to do. I tried to hold her down, but her strength was enormous. She screamed and thrashed around, her hands clawing at the wall and the ceiling, as if she was trying to escape from something only she could see. Her voice was becoming more and more inhuman. I felt like I was losing my mind. I tried to take her to the hospital the next day, but she wouldn't let me. I was afraid to call an ambulance, and I am not afraid to say that I am not a very polite person. I didn't know what to do in these cases. I was desperate. Clara hardly ate. Her body was getting weaker day after day, but her strength when she went into those trances was inhuman. I decided that everything had to stop. I called her aunt and uncle, and they told me that they would come and help me take her to the hospital. But before that happened, hell broke loose in my house. That same afternoon, I found her in the kitchen again with a knife in her hand. Clara looked at me, and for a second, I thought it was her, but then she smiled, and her smile was not human. With frightening speed, she lunged at me with the knife. I barely had time to dodge her, and the blade brushed past my arm. I ran for the door. I took refuge in the bathroom, slamming the door with all my might while Clara banged on the other side, screaming and laughing like a lunatic. The sound of the knocking on the door suddenly stopped. All was silent, a silence that was worse than any noise. I stood there, huddled on the bathroom floor, trembling, unable to move. The doorknob began to turn, slowly. I stood up, shaking, tears in my eyes, knowing that what I was about to face was not my daughter. When the door finally opened, there stood Clara, but not as I knew her. Her skin was pale, almost translucent. Her eyes were two black shafts staring soullessly at me. Her smile was a grotesque grimace, and in her hand she held the knife stained with blood. At that moment, interrupting our moment, someone opened the door. It was two police officers. They came in because they had received complaint from the neighbors that there was screaming, and they were just in the area. When they saw my daughter with a knife, they pointed the gun at her and asked her to stop. My daughter, or whatever was in her, turned around smiling and ran to stab the cops. Nervous and not knowing how to act, they shot her multiple times until she fell to the ground. My daughter was no longer breathing. The days after that were simply horrendous. My daughter's father never showed up at the wake, nor did I expect him to. I told the police everything that happened, but no one believed me. Everyone thought my daughter had a psychotic break, and I had been traumatized by what happened. I still live in that house. Everyone asks me how come I haven't moved out yet, and the answer couldn't be simpler. I can't. I have to choose between living in that house. I have to choose between living in that house where my daughter was killed, or moving to the street. You know, my torture is not over yet. Every night, I hear my daughter crying in her room. I feel that it is really her, or someone, or something wanted to leave me a memory before leaving. My daughter's soul forever suffering and being tortured in my house. I am considering playing Ouija to have one more moment with her. I don't know what will happen. Maybe I will have the same fate as her, but can you blame me? I miss her so much. No price is too high if it gives me the chance to talk to her again.
Saturday night was usually date night for my husband and me. That particular night, however, we'd gotten home a little late, but there wasn't much to be worried about as the babysitter had already put the kids to bed and left shortly after getting paid and wishing us good night. After a few minutes, my husband and I freshened up before heading to the basement to watch TV. This had become something we enjoyed doing ever since my husband, Mark, renovated the basement and made it a kind of man cave. We watched TV for a while, and as time went by, it became evident neither of us wanted to leave the basement and head upstairs as we already gotten comfortable. So at around midnight, we'd both forgotten about the movie and fallen asleep in the basement. A couple of hours went by, and I began to hear the sounds of my kids' footsteps coming down the stairs above the basement. I initially ignored this as I was extremely tired, and it wasn't unusual for my 9-year-old to use the downstairs bathroom. But after a while of hearing what I thought were my kids moving back and forth on the stairs, I decided to wake my husband up and told him to send them to bed.
"Honey, please go check on the kids. It's way too late for them to be up."
My husband was also tired and confused, so he replied, "What do you mean?"
"I thought they were in bed."
I didn't have time to answer his question before the footsteps from upstairs answered for me, and he sighed before reluctantly getting up to check on them. I tried going back to sleep when he left, but after a few minutes, my husband returned and said,
"They were already in bed, babe. Probably came down to pee and went back up, so don't worry."
I nodded and thanked him before closing my eyes in an attempt to fall asleep again. But something didn't sit right with me, and my mind raced as I realized that I had been downstairs the whole time my husband went up to check on the kids, but I didn't hear a single footstep from him. It didn't make any sense that someone my husband's size would quickly run up the stairs without making much noise, but my kids' footsteps were loud enough to wake me abruptly. Now, none of these questions needed to be answered immediately. I mean, I already knew my kids were safe upstairs. But with some of the sleep gone and the gut feeling that something was off, I began to think back to when I'd initially woken up, and none of what had happened made much sense to me. First off, my kids hated the dark, and I knew there was no reason they'd come all the way downstairs this late at night to use the bathroom when there was no one upstairs. Soon enough, I began to realize other things I dismissed at the moment due to my tiredness, like how the footsteps that had woken me up didn't sound anything like kids' footsteps, but were instead extremely heavy and slow. The more I thought about it, the more uneasy I became. Finally, at around 4:30 a.m., I got up and decided to go upstairs and check the indoor security camera to see what happened. Once I got upstairs, I got my laptop and logged into the cameras. I could see my kids asleep in their room, but before I could rewind to see who came downstairs, I noticed our dog pacing around the room. As I looked a little closer, my heart realized there was a shadowy figure standing in the corner of the room. I stared at the image for about 5 minutes, almost certain I was seeing things, but nothing changed. And I knew at that point, I had to go see for myself what it was. As I walked into the kids' room, the temperature completely changed and chills immediately went down my spine. Their room was extremely cold and eerie, and all I could do was stand frozen at the door for about a minute. I was far from the spiritual type, but at that moment, there was no denying the fact that there was definitely some sort of evil in that room. My chest began to feel heavy, and the longer I stayed in the room, the more difficult it became to breathe. Luckily, my kids didn't seem affected by whatever was happening to me, but this didn't mean much as I was never going to leave them in there. So I took my mind off whatever fear I felt at that moment and decided the most important thing was to get my kids out of the room. I moved quickly to my youngest daughter, Emily, took her out of the room and returned almost immediately for my son before her. Neither of them woke up as I carried them out, but that didn't matter in the moment. My second oldest was a boy named Jasper, and I quickly carried him off the bed and into my room with the rest of his siblings before returning for my eldest child, Serena. I bolted back into the room and towards Serena before picking her up like the rest and attempting to leave. Shockingly, however, before I could walk away, I felt something roughly grab her legs and pull her out of my arms and back into the bed. I stood still, completely frozen with fear, as I frantically looked around the room for who or what it was with us. There was nothing but darkness and an almost deafening silence. But while I couldn't hear or see anything, I could certainly feel the presence of something watching me and Serena. At that moment, gripped completely with fear, I'd admit the thought of running away briefly crossed my mind, but there was no way I was leaving my child. So in one last ditch effort, I ran towards Serena. This time, however, I couldn't even get close to her. I couldn't even get to her bed before something grabbed her leg again, lifting her out of the bed and keeping her in the air. At that point, there was nothing I could do to stay calm, and I watched in horror as its grip tightened on her leg before twisting her bone in a 360-degree turn, causing a snickering snap, then flinging her across the room. Serena hit the wall with a heavy thud, and a pool of blood began to form around her head as she lay on the floor. I let out a gut-wrenching scream and ran towards her, but just before I could get there, I felt a force around my neck crushing my throat and immediately making it difficult for me to breathe. I gasped desperately for air, swinging my hands and feet, trying to hit what I knew was there, but couldn't feel. It was pointless, though, because there was absolutely nothing in front of me, yet I could feel my consciousness slipping away, my vision blurring as the air was squeezed from my lung. My throat burned, and I had given up all hope. But just before I passed out, the early sun began to rise. Sunlight slowly filled the room, and just like that, the demon was gone. I fell to the ground before losing consciousness. I woke up 2 days later at the Orlando Health Regional Medical Center, screaming and calling for Serena. I immediately noticed that I'd been handcuffed to the bed, but that didn't matter to me as all I wanted to do was see my daughter. Soon enough, some doctors came in with my husband, and they informed me Serena was fine, but still hadn't woken up. After calming down, my husband told me that he found both of us unconscious that morning, and the police had to cuff me to the bed in case I was responsible for Serena's horrible condition. I didn't really understand much of what he was saying. But later, that afternoon, I spoke to the officers in charge of my case. While they didn't believe my story in any way, they had to take into account the damage that had been done to my windpipe the morning I was brought to the hospital, and the fact Serena's injury was so severe that I couldn't have been responsible. In the following days, I showed the police and media images of the figure I'd seen in my kid's room that night. The police needed more than the image, but the cameras in the room had mysteriously malfunctioned once I got to the door, and the only information they could get of what happened after was the statement I gave. Sure enough, the media story created buzz for a few weeks, but after that, it became old news, and everyone and everything went back to normal. I, however, have been in therapy for 2 years now. I can't be alone in a room without suffering severe panic attacks. And my daughter is still in rehab, trying to fix a leg that we're almost certain she can never use again. My life can never go back to normal. No matter how hard I try, I don't think it'll ever be possible for me to recover from the late-night ghost visit. This story is based on the Pitt Ghost case that occurred in York, Pennsylvania, 2022.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
The ghastly figure was caught on camera after haunting the Pitt family for almost a year. The image drew the attention of ghost enthusiasts all across the United States and remains one of the most popular ghost cases to date.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.